Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24, Acts chapter 24. And I have a question for you this morning. How many of you own an iWatch, an iPad, or an iPhone, or a MacBook, or a MacBook Air? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you have not bought into the dark side, so to speak? Okay. Well, not very many of you. Missed opportunities. So in 1976, in the garage, three men started what is now known as Apple. And one of those names, Steve Jobs. A second name is Steve Wozniak. But there was a third man that many of you may not have any idea who he was. His name, Ronald Wayne. Ronald Wayne actually drew up the first partnership agreement. He actually wrote the first manual for the Apple I. And he also drew the first Apple logo. And what's interesting is, less than 2 weeks after the founding of Apple, and Ronald Wayne receiving 10% stake in the company, he sold his shares for $800. True story. And later on, it's been said that he received another whopping $1,500 as a payment so that he could not come back and say that he had any rights to the company. What did Ronald Wayne miss? Today, that initial investment that he would have had would have been worth $55 billion. Somebody once said, nothing is more expensive than a missed opportunity. Now, the fact is, that may be true in the financial realm, and it could be true in business and in a lot of other areas, but there is nothing more at stake in your life than when you and I miss spiritual opportunities and fail to respond accordingly to the Word of God and the Spirit of God speaking into our lives. I'm speaking this morning to people who come here and the Lord has been dealing with you. And you're here this morning and you want to know that you have eternal life. You're not certain about it. You don't know if you're a Christian. You are concerned about what's going to happen one day when you die. And you've thought about it frequently and you sense this warming in your soul to respond to what you've been hearing, but you've not done so yet. I'm speaking to Christians who know that you're a child of God, but there's an area of your life that the Spirit of God has been putting the finger of God on in your life, and you know that God has been calling you to respond to Him in some way, and you just keep resisting. Today in Acts chapter 24, we're going to continue our study of Paul's journey towards Rome now that he's left Jerusalem and he's in Caesarea. And he's facing a trial. And Paul comes before one of the procurators, the leading Roman authorities by the name of Felix. And Paul gives a defense for his life and his faith. And in Acts chapter 24, we've got two examples. We have the example of the Apostle Paul, who was a faithful and a bold witness in the face of false accusations. But then we have the example of a man who missed his opportunity to respond to God and the work of the Holy Spirit convicting and drawing him to Christ. It's this man that I would like to turn our attention to. I want to share with you, beginning in Acts chapter 24, verse 22 through verse 27. Listen to the word of God. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case." He gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing the righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." And at the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a background on Felix and his wife. Felix was the governor and procurator of Judea in AD 52. His wife, Drusilla, was one of the three daughters of Herod Agrippa I. Felix had persuaded her to leave her former husband, Azes, the king of Emesa, and one of her sisters, Bernice, married King Agrippa. Her father, Herod Agrippa I, murdered James, John the Baptist, and then it was her great-grandfather, Herod the Great, who had killed the babies in Bethlehem and sought to kill Jesus. Drusilla was Felix's third wife. And this man, who had been given all of this power, had this young wife, and they came together and they sat and they heard the Apostle Paul tell them about Jesus and what he had done for them. But nowhere do we ever have recorded in Scripture that Felix ever responded to Paul's message. As a matter of fact, Felix's life is a rather sad one. It's reported that historically that Felix later would fall out of favor with the Roman government. His life was only spared because of the power of his brother, but then later he would take his own life. A man who missed his opportunity. Now, I want to give you four reasons that we learn from Felix why people miss spiritual opportunities in their life. When you look at the passage, the very first one that we see is found in verse 22. The Bible says, "Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case.'" So the scenario is this. The Jewish leaders had wanted Paul to be placed on trial. They appealed to Felix, the Roman governor, hoping that he would see their side and put Paul to death, or let them put Paul to death. But Felix, rather than responding and taking responsibility for the decision to be made, the Bible says that he procrastinated. I'll let you know later on. Look what it says in verse 22. He says, he put them off, saying, "I will decide your case when the commander Lysias comes." Now, I believe that people miss spiritual opportunities because of procrastination. Felix understood with his mind, but refused with his will. He saw the light, but preferred to live in darkness. His mind was informed, his heart was moved by fear, yet he would not obey the truth. Now we're like that. The Bible says in verse 22 that Felix had a more exact knowledge about the way, meaning that maybe because of his Jewish wife, Drusilla, he had already heard about Jesus from Nazareth and heard about the death, burial, and resurrection story. And evidently he understood some of the beliefs and the teachings of those that followed Christ, and yet he still was unwilling to respond. I think there are many people that may be in this room that may just be like Felix. Maybe you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and Lord. You've heard the gospel. You've been told that you're a sinner. You know that you're a sinner, but you have never surrendered and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you've said those proverbial words, "I'll do it next time. I'll do that another day." Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Luke 12:40 says, "You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." The other day, Vicky was in my office at home, and she was dusting. And she came out with this whole pile of stuff. And one is a broken little thing you plug in the wall, and it's got a little night light, but it also, I think, has a little stained glass thing in front of it. So it's one of those little pretty things that I don't care anything about. But anyway, it had broken, and I had told Vicky that I would glue it back together. That was a year ago. And then there was this other item that was a little dish that we had in our bathroom that had fallen and broken. And I said, "Honey, I can get some super glue and I can fix that." And that was in her hands as well, and I had told her probably about a year ago that I would fix that too. And there were all these little things, and she asked me, here was her question. She said, "Honey, is this your I'll get to it pile?" Procrastination. I want to ask you this morning, have you been procrastinating making a spiritual decision that God has been speaking to you about? Some people miss spiritual opportunities because they think that they can put it off until another day. Some people miss spiritual opportunities because of outright rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction. Notice what it says in this passage. It says in verse 24, "Some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, and they sent for Paul. And what did they hear him speak about? Faith in Christ Jesus." And as he was discussing, listen to what Paul was discussing: righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And when Felix heard that there is a judgment to come, the Bible says fear gripped him. He became frightened. And he said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." Now, the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit had brought conviction into the heart of Felix. Because the Bible says when he heard about the judgment, when he heard about righteousness and discipline, the Bible says he was nervous. He literally became uncomfortable. And if you've been hearing the word of God spoken to you, maybe you're an unbeliever and you don't know Christ yet. And when you come to church, you've heard the gospel. You've heard about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And you get very uncomfortable. And you think, I know that I need Christ, but I'm not going to respond. Or maybe you're a Christian and I've said something, or I've read a scripture, or we've sang a song, and the Spirit of God has put his finger on your heart, and God has spoken to you about something that you are supposed to respond to him over, and you've said, No. I'm not going to respond. When Jesus sent the 70 out to preach, he said in Luke 10, 16, "The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, in verse 51, when Stephen was on trial and he was boldly speaking the truth, in verse 51, he was speaking to the Jewish people, the leaders there, and he said, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did." Now look in Acts 28. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 28. Paul, in the last days of his life, the Jewish people came to him, the leaders came to him in verse 23. And the Bible says he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law and Moses, from the prophets, from morning until evening. And it says some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. It wasn't that they could not believe, it was that they would not believe. Some people miss spiritual opportunities because they resist the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in their life that draws them to Christ in salvation or for the believer in obedience. Some people miss a spiritual opportunity to meet with God because of procrastination. I'll put it off. Some people just outright reject the working of the Holy Spirit and say, "No." Now, I'm likely speaking to someone online or in this room that you're that very person. The Spirit of God has spoken to you clearly about something in your life, and you have said, "God, I am not going to respond." I heard the story. It's just a fable. But four demons were meeting with Satan, scheming and strategizing as to how they can keep people from coming to Christ. One of the demons said, "We'll tell them there's no God." Satan said, "All they have to do is look around. They know there's a God." The next demon said, "There's no heaven. Let's tell the people there's no heaven." Satan said, "God has put it in every man's heart that there is eternity." The third demon said, "Let's just tell them there's no hell." And Satan said, "They see hell on earth, they know that hell is real." The fourth demon stepped up and said this, "I know what we'll do. We'll tell them there's no hurry." Missed opportunities. There's a third reason I believe that we learn from Felix why people miss spiritual opportunities. One is wrong motivation. Look what happens here. The Bible says in verse 26, "At the same time too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul And therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. So in other words, more than likely, Felix had heard about the offering that Paul was bringing to the church in Jerusalem. And Felix was hoping that Paul would slide a little cash along his palm. That he would bribe his way out of this trial. He had a wrong motivation. Do you remember in Matthew's gospel in chapter 19 when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And the rich young ruler said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "You've got to sell everything you have, give it away to the poor." And the principle was not that that's the means of salvation. Jesus knew what was the Lord of that man's heart, and it was his manna, his money, his mammon. And the Bible says that the young man went away sad because he owned much. I believe that sometimes people are confronted by the Spirit of God about a spiritual decision that needs to be made in their life. And sometimes it's not procrastination that puts them off. Sometimes it's not just the rejection of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, but it's the wrong motivation that the love of the world and the things of the world take precedence in their life. Are you here this morning and you know that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? But to come to Christ and to be his, you recognize that it comes with a cost. And there are so many things that you love in this world more than you love Christ. Is that you? Maybe you already are a Christian and the Spirit of God has spoken to you about something in your life that you need to deal with. But you know that to obey him may bring a cost. Missed opportunities. Mark 8:36 says this, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" What have you sold your soul for in your life? There's a fourth thing that we learn from Felix. People miss spiritual opportunities because of procrastination, rejecting the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. They have wrong motives in their life. But I believe this last one is the scariest of all. Some people miss spiritual opportunities because they have a seared conscience. Now, if you remember last week, I talked about the four kinds of consciences that are mentioned in the Bible. A seared conscience is when someone resists to the point to which they no longer even sense the Spirit of God at work in their lives. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible was the Bible tells us about Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him and he didn't even know it. Look in verse 27. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. 2 years he kept listening to Paul preach and teach to him. He kept entertaining Paul because he wanted something from Paul, but not the gospel. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. I want to warn you, Christian, you can sit in church week after week after week after week, and if the Spirit of the living God is dealing with you about an area of your life and you refuse to respond, you can become seared in your own conscience toward what God is wanting to do in your life. And if you're not a Christian, you can listen to it so long that before you ever even know it, you no longer even feel the pull to come to faith in Jesus. Hebrews 10 says this, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remaining a sacrifice for sin, but a terrible expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. 2 Corinthians 6:2, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness. I was reading a powerful message from W.A. Criswell on Felix. He said, as Paul preached and reasoned, the Spirit of the Lord reached down into the very soul of Felix. He was under conviction. Never was a man who felt the tug and the pull of the power of God any more than Felix did in that critical hour. The Lord touched him, but he didn't respond. What a call when God was there, when the Spirit moved, when the day of grace and opportunity were opened wide, and to answer it with this, not now, some other time when I have a convenient season, I will. Criswell goes on, that's all it took to destroy his life and his hope forever, forever. That's all that it ever takes. Man, you don't have to blaspheme God to be lost. You don't have to damn the Holy Spirit to be lost. You don't have to murder and rape and kill to be lost. You don't have to fall into darkest sin and tragedy to be lost. You can be respectable and be lost. You can be comfortable and be lost. You can be most successful and be lost. You can take your place in your social group, walk down to your office or live in a beautiful home. You can like the preacher. You can like the church. You can stand up for the things they stand for in social and civic organizations and be lost and be lost. All that it takes for a man to be lost is just to drift into eternity without God. And I don't want anyone here to miss the opportunity to know Christ. And I don't want any believer here to miss the spiritual opportunity that God has for you, where he's been putting his finger on your life. Would you bow your head this morning? With every head bowed, eyes are closed, I simply want to ask you this question. How is the Spirit of God speaking to you? In a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song. And immediately when we begin to sing that song, I don't want you to hesitate. If you're in the balcony, we have Adam, one of our pastors, in the balcony for you to talk with. There'll be pastors here at the altar. And if the Spirit of God is saying, you need Christ, I want you to come. Maybe you're a Christian and you say, Daryl, I know I'm a Christian, but I have not followed Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. I procrastinated. I have resisted the Spirit telling me that I need to do that. And I just keep putting it off. Today, I want you to step out and come and say to one of the pastors, I need to obey Christ and be baptized. Maybe you've been thinking the Spirit of God's been leading you to make some other spiritual decision or join this church. If you're online, you can speak with the online pastor. But whatever it is, don't delay. Don't miss this spiritual opportunity. God, you know every one of us. Whether we simply need to come to the altar and pray and say, God, help me to respond to you. Or whether we need to pray with a pastor, God, I'm asking that your Spirit would be at work. And that, Lord, you would draw us to yourself. And I pray this in Jesus' name.